I find it difficult to keep contact with you whenever I talk, especially when I speak to public. It is rather difficult to follow your understanding. Because I am talking to our own students always. But anyway, I will try to communicate with you. First of all, I am supposed to talk about our teaching. Zen is for you, Zen is some special teaching. But for us, Zen is Buddhism, and not to special teaching from other schools of Buddhism. So, if you ask me to talk about our teaching, I have to. What I will talk about is mostly teaching of Buddhism, started by Buddha and developed by various teachers in India, China, and in Japan. Buddha's teaching put the emphasis on selflessness because even Buddhism is is not special cultural heritage. It is a part of Indian thought. And so before Buddhism, there must be some similar teaching. Or some opposite teaching, which form pair of opposite with Buddhism. As you see in Upanishad, there are many similar teaching based on selflessness. I think why he put emphasis on selflessness is because people at that time had very difficulty because of the strong idea of self. So Buddha, on the contrary, put emphasis on selflessness so that they will have more balanced understanding of our life. And for the people who find who were trying to find out something, a pleasure of life in this actual mundane world. He put emphasis on suffering so that they can understand their life from both sides. So naturally, even so, his purpose of setting or his teaching is to form some harmonious teaching. So sometimes he put emphasis on self, you know, instead of put emphasis on selflessness. He sometimes rather emphasis on self. We call this kind of nature of our teaching is double construction or double construction or double nature of Buddhism. And actually without paradoxical or opposite understanding, we cannot think things clearly, and what we think will be clear if we only when we take at least two opposite viewpoint, then you will have some reality without being caught by some one-sided idea. But mostly, in general, Buddha's teaching is based on the teaching of selflessness. But later, his teaching was more settled than in some static teaching, like everything changes, or teaching of interdependency, or teaching of cause and effect. And in Mahayana, we have more advanced philosophical setting of the teaching, like I don't know how to translate it into English, but some teaching you will study by Kegon Sutra or Lotus Sutra. Kegon put emphasis on Jiji Munge. Jiji Munge is harmony of each being. And Jiji Munge means harmony with the truth and phenomenal world. And Lotus Sutra put emphasis on the understanding which you will have after attaining the idea of emptiness or experience of emptiness. This is something like Zen. Zen extended this kind of idea by practice and brought this philosophical teaching into our actual experience, and how to bring this philosophical teaching to our life by practice in Zen. So in Zen school, in short, to wipe up everything on the every dust on the mirror, and to see everything, to see everything on the reflection of the mirror, is our way, or to write to erase everything from the blackboard and to write something on it is Zen. And we continue this kind of activity, erase it, wipe it up and write something on it and wipe it up. But because I try to explain it more psychologically or more as our human experience, I put it in this way, but actually what we are doing is to continue this kind of effort, This is, in other words, detachment. Detachment means to erase something, but actually we cannot erase what we did. Actually, that is not possible. But you feel as if you wipe up everything and you renew yourself. When you are completely observed in your activity or in your everyday life, you experience this kind of development of our life, our life force, in this way. So, but actually, nothing happens, even though you study Buddhism. And nothing happens even you practice Zazen. But when you feel in that way, in your practice, that is enlightenment, Because mostly it is difficult for us to wipe up everything, from our mind. And actually there is no need to do so. And it is foolish to eliminate all everything what you have done, or a result of the, your previous activity. That is not possible, and it is foolish to try to do that. But there is a way to develop our everyday life without being bothered by, you know, a previous activity or a result of that previous activity. This is how I could explain, you know, how I can explain what I have in my mind about teaching of Zen. Now, one by one, according to the list Richard Baker teaching, I want to explain this kind of double structure of our teaching. To me, everything there should be understood in this way. For instance, you know, idea of time has, you know, double structures. One is idea of continuity is of course time, you know, continuity. And that at the same time, discontinuity is the idea of time. If the continuity of time is the idea of time, there is no need to have watch here. When I say it is 10:30, you know, or, it means that at that time I have discontinuity of time. My idea of time, discontinuity. You know, it is not actually 10:30. You know, maybe more. While I'm watching it, it will go more. Continuously it is going. But I have to say, you know, as long as I have watched, it is someone, if someone asks me what time is it, I have to say it is 10:30. So that is the idea of discontinuity of time. But it is not actually so, it is continuous. Time is idea of continuous. So discontinuity of time and continuity of time. In this way, real, you know, reality has double, only by double structure of our reasoning, we can figure out what is reality. And self is also, selflessness and self is same thing, you know. Not different. According to Buddhism, the basic teaching, maybe for which settled up more logically, it's everything changes. You know, this is basic teaching of. Buddhism, and because of this teaching, his descendant or his disciples treated Buddha as a teacher of heaven and earth. He is not only a teacher of this world, he is a teacher of heaven. Because even though you go to heaven, this teaching that everything change will not be different. You know, it is also true in heaven. So he is called a teacher of heaven and earth. Because of this teaching that everything changes. And this is the basic foundation of Buddhism, Buddhist teaching. So if everything changes, you know, how about self, you know? Self is also changing. If so, you know, even though we say self, there is no such substantial being as self. Self is as we learned last night, we have learned last night. A self is, you know, not tentatively we call our function of mind and body self, but there's no such thing as self. This is also true with Buddhism. So we say, we put emphasis, as long as everything changes, self cannot be exception. And the teaching of suffering comes from this point, from this teaching too. We, you know, although everything, including self, changes always, we expect, you know, everything not to change. You know. This is also true. This is also double structure of our, you know, nature. In one hand, everything changes. And on the other hand, we try not think everything changes. And so there we have suffering, you know. When we expect things not to change, but actually everything is everything betrays our hope. That is, you know, how we suffer. But if you understand the reality that we hope everything not to change is true, and that everything is changing is also true. So if we accept, you know, two sides of the one reality, then there's no problem. When you say everything changed, oh, it's okay. When someone says everything does not change, oh, that is true, that is okay. When you could accept in this way, you know, even for a moment, that is enlightenment. And enlightenment will happen to you, you know, when you are very, very, very truthful to the fact, you know, or truthful to not truthful to, although you are not truthful to the reality or fact from both sides, but even you know, if you are very truthful to one-sided view of life, you know, then you have chance to attain enlightenment. And whether you attain enlightenment or not, you know, this is true. So as a intellectual, intelligent people, you know, there will not be no need to attain enlightenment. Little by little, you know, you break into this pattern of, and this way of thinking, and you will more get accustomed to this kind of way of life, you know, or understanding of life, and someday you will actually experience, or you will enjoy this kind of paradoxical world. So enjoyment, you know, we mean is very much different from the enjoyment meant by the people who just dwell on one-sided view, one-sided understanding of life. This is completely different. You know, we, so Buddhists are, you know, in one hand they are very, sometimes they are very, they look very, you know, joyous people. And on the other hand, they are very, you know, dismal and gloomy feeling. They will give you. This is also double structure. And one person express, you know, their feeling in two different way. That is possible, you know. He may be very strong and tough in one way, but on the other hand, he may be very gentle and very soft. My teacher used to give us some refer to the famous, the most, you know, the best sword maker, Masamune. One day, Shigehiro, no, Shigehiro, the sword, not sword maker, but spearhead maker, visited him. But spear or lance, visited him. Fortunately or unfortunately, you know, Masamune was not there, was not at home. So Hiroshige asked his wife to show him some of his sword, and she brought a small, you know, sword, as long as this sword, you know. And he was watching it, but he did not. His expression was not perfect, you know. He is wondering, you know, if this is good or bad. He's wondering about it. So wife asked him if there is something wrong with his sword, and if he had some criticism please tell him, she said. And Hiroshige, you know, take out the spare head from his pocket and putting his sword on the floor. And when he, you know, did like this, big fall, you know, was on the sword Masamune made. And his wife was amazed at his, you know, strong power of, strong quality of the spearhead. And Hiroshige went out. But his wife promised him, as he was going, to come again and to meet her husband. And 1 week or after 1 week or so, he came back. And Masamune was not moved a little. Was not moved even a little, and he, you know, he asked him to show him, you know, his spare head. And he was watching. And Masamune said, "Give me that. I want to see your spare head." And as soon as he received it, he drew his sword and cut the spare head in two with a sword which had big hole in it. And he said, "You know, your spear is not available to the battlefield, you know, because if this spear head, will be easily cut. So this is rather dangerous," he said. So Masamune's, you know, sword has double structure. It is soft, so it is not easily be cut. But it is sharp enough to cut everything. So this is one of the example of double structure or double nature of the reality. This is also is also selflessness. So when the meaning of selflessness is to annihilate all the evil desires name, or to give up the idea of fame or profit, if that is selflessness, that is one-sided idea. So selflessness is also means strong self, the toughness of the self, and which is always free from personal attachment, which is immutable. That is selflessness. Dogen, the founder of Soto school of Zen, explain this point. You should not think firewood, become ash. Firewood does not become ash. You should not think firewood become ash. Firewood has its own period, and ash also has its own period. And ash has its own personal feature, so that firewood. So firewood is independent, the ash is independent. When we understand self in that way, that self includes everything, its own personal feature, and everything which exists with fire or ash. That is, but it does not mean to have some substantial idea of ash or fire. It is not some substance, but it's something as something named as include everything and related to everything. This is also the understanding of reality and understanding of ourself. Only when we understand in this way, we can understand Buddhism, not only Buddhism, I think, I hope. Your understanding will be available to understand your life and to understand others' life and to understand science and everything. When we just rely on one-sided understanding, you will lose the purpose of our study. So to study Buddhism, according to him, to study Buddhism, Buddhism means not only Buddhist teaching. Everything. To study everything is to study ourselves. And to study ourselves is to forget ourselves. And to forget ourselves is to be enlightened by things we study. Something you study will teach us something, which is real and true. So he says, to study ourselves, to be enlightened by everything. And this enlightenment goes forever. In this way, wiping the enlightenment and having enlightenment again. In this way, this enlightenment procedure will go on and on and on, and you will understand everything in its true sense. So this is what is reality according to Buddhism, and what is the teaching of selflessness of Buddhism. And this selflessness is one of the three important banner or seal of Buddhism, that everything changes, that everything has no ultimate nature. When we say so, it includes many things. There's nothing is perfect, it's also nothing is perfect. It's meant by this teaching of selflessness. We think, you know, it is possible to attain or to get contact with something, to understand or to grasp something perfect, or to attain some stage of perfection. But according to Buddhism, that is not possible. It is not possible. When you understand that is not possible, that understanding is perfect understanding, and that is enlightenment. We understand that is the second point. And when we realize, or when we have this enlightenment, or as long as we have this enlightenment, then here we find Nibbana, right here in this moment. That is the three seals of Buddhism. If some teaching or if some teaching has, whatever the teaching is, if that teaching has this those three elements, that is Buddhism. So we call it the three important series of Buddhism. And this basic teaching will be extended to the Four Noble Truths or Eightfold Holy Paths, which was told by Buddha when he saved five of his men who escaped from the castle with him. That this world is world of suffering, that this world what is the cause of suffering and the way to get out of the suffering, and what is Nibbana, where we will attain Nibbana, where is Nibbana. This is Four Noble Truths. But those teachings are a different version of one, you know, truth. And when whatever the way of understanding of our life may be, if we do not miss this point, that is Buddhism. If there is no, if we are certain or clear on this point, that is Buddhism. Will you, if you have questions, please ask us. You know, be clear.
What are the Four Noble Truths?
Four Noble Truths, that this world is world of suffering.
That's number one.
Yeah. And cause of suffering.
That's two.
Two. The third one, way to have liberation from it, where to get out of it, and Nibbana, and enlightenment, or Nibbana. Nirvana is Sanskrit word.
That's three, isn't it?
Four.
Fourth is Nirvana.
Fourth is Nirvana.
The way to get out of it is the third truth?
Yeah. The third one. Cause of suffering is the second one. That this world is maybe better to explain more at this point. Origination itself is, you know, origination of suffering. That something exists here is already suffering for it. For us, that for me, that I'm here is suffering. And how you take this suffering is, you know, the point. I think have clear picture of, you know, cause of suffering, you know. That I am here is suffering, you know. And maybe it is joy too. It is honor to be here, and it is a kind of joy. Joy is also suffering. Not only after I have joy, but simultaneously I have suffered too. I have to suffer. Because I suffer, I have joy. So things has two, you know, suffering and joy at the same time. The two sides of one coin. So, and how we get out of it is to have wisdom, to see things as it is. That is not possible by your thinking. That is not possible. But your thinking will help, you know. When you think from various angles, then thinking will help. But actually, we have to fight it out. If you want to have sudden enlightenment, you should fight it out. And if you want to, if you do not concern about, if you do not want to feel that you are fooled by, you know, something, then you should strive. For it, little by little, according to your, you know, wisdom or thinking. Wisdom, we mean sometimes wisdom. We mean it wisdom followed by teaching, and wisdom sometimes it's direct. Understand or to have direct contact with the reality is wisdom. And this direct contact, to have direct contact with the reality is Zen practice. So in Zazen, we try not to think. I have to explain it later, I think, about our practice. But this is the idea.